Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday, January 21st, 2019, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at the page XXX, the second paragraph, beginning with "The classification of alcoholics seems most difficult," and we'll be reading through four paragraphs, ending with "the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence." And comments will be on all four paragraphs. Today's readers are Nancy L. for the 12 steps, Betsy H. for the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Susan H., Kathy G., and Kathy Jo P. The share ID for Sunday, January 20th, is 12,440. 12440. And for this morning, 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the share ID is 12,442, 12442. Our newcomer greeter for today is Melanie C. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Nancy L. to read the 12 steps. Star one to unmute, Nancy.
I'm sorry. Thank you so much. Good morning. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. We admitted we were powerless over compulsive overeating and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening, as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
And thank you, Nancy L. Betsy H., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Betsy H. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions of the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page XXX, the second paragraph, beginning with the classification of alcoholics seems most difficult. We'll be reading through 4 paragraphs, ending with the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And we'll be commenting on all 4 paragraphs. And good morning, Susan H., if you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is Susan H. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Ohio. The classification of alcoholics seems most difficult and in much detail is outside the scope of this book. There are, of course, the psychopaths who are emotionally unstable. We are all familiar with this type. They are always going on the wagon for keeps. They are over remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. There is the type of man who is unwilling to admit that he cannot take a drink. Excuse me. He plans various ways of drinking. He changes his brand or his environment. There is the type who always believes that after being entirely free from alcohol for a period of time, he can take a drink without danger. There is the manic depressive type who is perhaps the least understood by his friends and about whom a whole chapter could be written. Then there are types entirely normal in every respect except in the effect alcohol has upon them. They are often able, intelligent, friendly people. All these and many others have one symptom in common. They cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. This phenomenon, as we have suggested, may be the manifestation of an allergy which differentiates these people and sets them apart as a distinct entity. It has never been, by any treatment with which we are familiar, permanently eradicated. The only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. I find myself, I heard this morning that one of our fellows didn't want to be in this club, didn't want to be included, didn't want to be different than our fellows. And I sure didn't either. But I have always have been. I read each type, and with each type, I think, yep, that's me. Going on the wagon for keeps and over remorseful. Yeah, that was one or the other most of my adult life. Those were my go-to. I was either on the wagon for keeps or over remorseful that I couldn't. I couldn't be on the wagon for keeps under my own steam. I was at times unwilling to admit I couldn't take that first bite, and certainly not willing to believe that my only relief would be complete abstinence. That was the most frightening thing I recall on this journey. At times, I was able, intelligent, friendly, but that effect compulsive eating had on me was undeniable. Once I started, I could not stop. So I trusted the people that called me when I gave my name as a newcomer. And I listened to the special edition on what is complete abstinence. It was so helpful to me in outlining what my abstinence needed to be. And I did, even though it was frightening, I put down those foods and started working the steps as I was directed. I am so grateful for the directions that I've been given. I am so grateful that I do have a daily reprieve contingent on maintaining spiritual fitness. But I'm mostly grateful that I have a higher power to go to in everything that I just did not recognize was there. I'm so grateful to have found my higher power. And I think I'll pass at that. Thank you.
And thank you, Susan H. So, who would like to comment on these four paragraphs?
Joanne M.
Julie E.B.
Roz G.
Teresa
Ginger C.
Nicole C.
Kathy Jo P.
Okay, hold up right there, please. So, I think I heard Rowena. And I heard Julie E.R., but who was after Rowena before Julie? Let me tell you who else I have so you don't think it was you. Roz G., Ginger C., Nicole C., Kathy Jo P. There was someone at the beginning I missed.
Marissa E.
Marissa E., okay. Okay, so let's stop there. I have Rowena, I think it was Rowena, I need your initial. Marissa E., Julie E.R., Roz G., Ginger C., Nicole C., and Kathy Jo P. So go ahead, Rowena.
So, hi, it's actually Roanne, Roanne M.
Oh, Roanne.
That's
Roanne.
Hi,
M.
Good morning.
Okay, sorry, thanks.
No,
good
it's
morning.
Fine.
Go
good morning. My name is Roanne M. I'm actually in California right now, but I live in New York. And I love, love, love these paragraphs. I think that at different periods of my illness, I've been all of these different types. I was unwilling to admit that I couldn't take a drink. I was definitely unwilling early on. I thought that I could control and manage what I ate. I planned different ways of drinking. I was on different diets. I changed to sugar-free instead of regular. So all of these things are things that I relate to. I believe that after being on a diet for a very long time, I could have it again. I could have my alcoholic foods again. But obviously, I know now that that didn't work. And then I thought that I was normal in all ways except with food. And now I know through doing work that that's definitely not true. And I have a lot of other issues that I have to work on. But we all have one thing in common. I cannot start drinking without developing the phenomenon of craving. And that's true with my alcoholic foods. I have the twofold, I have the allergy of the body and the twist of the mind. So if I put these things into my mouth, I will have the craving and it will flip a switch in my body to eat more and more and more. So it is an allergy. I am different from other people. I will never, ever, ever be a normal eater. I will never be able to eat like other people. So sets them apart as a distinct entity. I have to be honest with myself and surrender to that fact. I am different from other people. It will never be permanently eradicated. I will have this illness every single day when I wake up for the rest of my life. I've had it since I was 5 years old. And the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. I have to completely put down all my alcoholic foods and behaviors, because I have alcoholic food behaviors in addition to my alcoholic foods. And those behaviors can be just as bad and can lead me into my alcoholic foods. So this really is talking about step one, that I'm powerless, because if I can't admit that I'm powerless, I'm not going to be willing to put down all of my alcoholic foods and all of my alcoholic food behaviors. And it is entire abstinence, and it will never leave me. I will always have this. And they talk about... Okay. All right. Thank you. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Roanne M. So Marissa E., you're up next, followed by Julie E. B.
Good morning, my fellows. Good morning, Kathleen. This is Marissa E. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater outside Los Angeles. Oh, you know what I have come to love in studying this big book is adjectives. I am obsessed with adjectives now, right? So looking at this last sentence, this is how it could be written, right? The relief we have to suggest is abstinence. Right? That's what it could say. That could get the message across. But on page 39, it talks about how they have to emphasize and reemphasize to smash home upon our alcoholic readers, right? Upon me, a compulsive overeating reader, because I'm not going to get it. I'm going to twist it. I'm going to misinterpret it. I'm going to misperceive it. And so I looked up these words, only, right? Only relief, alone of its kind, solitary. And it even means alone deserving consideration. All right. So I have to pay attention to that. It's the only, that's it, Marissa. There's no argument. It's the only one. And then entire, right? Entire abstinence with no part left out, whole, absolute. Right. So I cannot argue with these dang adjectives. And then even a little bit before that, right, this phenomenon, this allergy, it sets me apart as an entity. No, it's a distinct entity, which means different in nature from something else of a similar type. Right. So I've got my normie sisters, I've got my normie parents, and I've got my normie husband. Right? I'm sharing all this DNA. I'm a twin, you guys. I have a twin. Okay? But I am a distinct entity because I do not. I'm marked different. I have this sharp difference that when I ingest certain ingredients, it's going to set me off. And I am. I'm just so, I love these adjectives. I do, you guys. That's what I wanted to share about. Only entire distinct, because it helps emphasize and reemphasize what I have to get. And I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Marissa E. Julie E. B., it is your turn, followed by Roz G.
Hi, this is Julie E. B., gratefully having relief one day at a time. I love this word, relief. It's so amazing to me. A feeling of reassurance and relaxation following the release from anxiety or distress. So here it is. Whatever type I am, whatever craziness is in my mind, whatever's not working in my life, whatever the scale is saying, going up, down, same, whatever ways I'm using my food as a way to control and restrict, or to numb and binge, there is relief. And entire abstinence sounds so hard, but the relief, it is hard to start, but the relief is so much, the relief of entire abstinence, so much more than slipping in and out of the food, in and out of the craziness of my mind, in and out of my acting out of my life, in and out of not understanding why I feel so alone and separate from the world. Relief, a feeling of reassurance and relaxation following the release from anxiety or distress. When I release my alcoholic foods, my alcoholic ingredients, my alcoholic behaviors, all of a sudden I have relief, a feeling of reassurance and relaxation. If you do not have that today, reach out and make a call. You are not alone. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Julie E.B. So Roz G., you are up, followed by Ginger C.
Good morning. This is Roz G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles, and I am on a OA birthday party high, and that is the reason why I need to call in more than ever, because the very first birthday I went to, I was so emotional that I found myself at the Walgreens walking down the chocolate aisle, looking for candy bars. So, you know, many years later, I have been blessed to be able to study with you guys for over 2 years now, and have gotten the message of entire abstinence. I've also gotten the message that no matter what emotion I'm feeling, I'm going to want to eat, especially after a convention, because I'm so proud of OA birthday parties, and I'm proud that we have workshops where we get to delve into certain areas of our recovery, because, you know, I have to live it in my body, and I have to live in this world every single day, and there's so many different opportunities for me to look and to see why, you know, the reasons why I eat over relationships, over racial issues. And then when I get home, I go to my mom's house and we're watching the Rams and the Saints, and the Rams win, and my mom has four different kinds of cakes to eat to celebrate. But my family, thank God, they know that I'm a compulsive overeater. But yeah, I could have been so happy. I come home from the party, there's the Rams win. Oh, I'm going to have a piece of cake. No, I'm not. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, because I have learned about this through these meetings, through Ruth's, you know, valiant efforts to travel and to tell us and to share with us that entire abstinence means entire abstinence. And if I eat that, I'm going to trigger off the suicide. It's going to come. I don't want to go back to my last binge because that really sucked. So I'm grateful. I love these meetings. I've loved all the shares this morning, and I'm going to continue to listen to more and be of service and talk to my sponsees after this meeting. Yay. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Roz G. Ginger C., it is your turn, followed by Nicole C. Ginger, can you press star 1 to unmute, please? Okay, maybe I didn't hear Ginger. So, Nicole C.
Hello, this is Nicole C. in Morgan Hill, California. Thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service. I loved the part at the very end where it essentially says that the one thing that we all have in common is that we can't start eating alcoholic foods without developing the phenomenon of craving. And I love that because that means that it doesn't matter if we have just that affliction or that affliction and, you know, 99 others, we belong here. So it doesn't matter if I'm, you know, a compulsive overeater and a psychotic, or and you know, an emotional wreck, or and whatever else, you know, and a career woman, or and a housewife. It doesn't matter. Like, whatever else is wrong with me, it doesn't matter, as long as this one thing I can identify with, and I do very much. It's hard to accept that there are certain things that I can't eat. You know, like, there are some things that are very black and white. I'm like, yep, never can eat those. Not ever, not even a little bit, not even the millionth ingredient. I don't want to make the phenomenon of craving. There's other things that are really hard for me to admit that they trigger the phenomenon of craving, because it's, you know, quote unquote, like, healthy, or, you know, but I know that for me, it's not just fuel, that I'll think about it all day until I can have another bite. And that means that I'm having the phenomenon of craving. It's not just eating it because it's time to eat. It's not just eating it because I'm hungry. There are pleasure sensors that are going off when I eat certain foods. And then I want more and more and more. And if that's happening, I'm having the phenomenon of craving, and I'm not getting the relief that I need. And abstinence is the only relief that's offered here, entire abstinence. I can't just have a little drop. I'm going to wake it up, and I don't want to wake it up. I don't want to struggle. I don't want to be white knuckling it all day. You know, I want to be able to be free and have a quiet mind and go about my day and live my life in between my meals. So one thing someone shared with me once that made it really clear for me is, if you don't have a problem with it, you should have no problem putting it down for good then. And that just really keeps it simple for me. Thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Nicole C. So, Ginger C, do we have you? No. Okay. So, before we take Kathy.
Hi, good morning. This is Ginger C.
Oh, okay, Ginger, go ahead.
Sorry, I didn't get unmuted. This is Ginger C, recovered compulsive overeater from Colorado, still in LA, and just love probably my most favorite part of the book right now, what we're reading, especially as a compulsive overeater. I never saw entire abstinence for the 20 plus years sitting in OA. And I think this is the beginning for all of us. Obviously the most important piece is the food had to kick me to the curb, and I had to find completely and lay down that white flag and just, or raise the white flag. But then the second piece, you know, what is tripping me up? What is causing this phenomenon of craving? What is causing this relapse over and over and over? And it's the food that I'm ingesting. And I have to be entirely honest and concede to my innermost self. And I have to look at every aspect of it, every angle of it. And, you know, coming back from Virginia Beach, sugar flour, that was simple. I knew that a long time ago. But then when God spoke to me and said, put down cheese and butter, especially the cheese, it was really hard. It was really painful. But again, how free do you want to be? And you have to be honest about how you react. Is the food a little too sexy when you're eating? Then you got to say goodbye. But that's the gift in this piece, this entire abstinence. That's where we get happy, joyous, and free. And I'm neutral, and I can go anywhere in this world. And the food just doesn't call anymore. But again, this beginning is hard, but I just encourage anyone that's still eating or having trouble with the behaviors around it, see what's going on in those labels. Get honest. And then watch your life unfold in a way that you never dreamed before. To be in life, to show up to this OALA birthday, we isolate, we stay at home, we shut the drapes. And we get to be out with each other, and we get to be in life with love and connection, our hearts soft and our hands open to all. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Ginger C. So again, before we take Kathy Jo P., just a reminder, we're on page XXX, second paragraph, the classification of alcoholics seems most difficult. through four paragraphs, ending with the only relief we have to suggest is entire abstinence. And I'll be taking some more names after Kathy Jo P., so be ready. Go ahead, Kathy.
Good morning. This is Kathy Jo P., a recovered compulsive overeater from Minneapolis. Today I'm in Yorba Linda. I came into OA in the 80s, and I gave up sugar, and I still found other forms of foods that gave me the effect I was looking for. And even though I lost 7 pounds, and even though I, 7 pounds, even though for 7 years I did that, and I was pretty much at goal weight, I still was looking for a secret way to get back to what gave me what I needed to be okay in this world. And I was envisioning this morning as I was thinking about this, about the mice in Minnesota that we try so hard to keep out of our house. And my husband will keep finding foam and cotton and different deterrents to keep those darn mice out. And no matter what, it seems that they sneak in. And then we talk to people and we find new people and we talk to people at the fair that can help us. And then they get in our garage and chew up things that are important to us. And then we hire a professional. And man, did I hire professionals to help me. Every kind of professional you can imagine. And I just wanted to, I thought I wanted to be thin. That's what I thought I wanted. But I just was so not okay in my skin. And it included all kinds of natural and gimmicks that I thought would bring me what I needed. And so, yes, we need to be entirely abstinent. And that includes every kind of form of anything, whether it's a substance or a mixture or an amount. For me not to get that sense of ease and comfort that I'm looking for in food, and to learn that every day, to learn how can I grow closer to God so that I can be okay in my skin. And then the magic happens for me. And I work hard every single day to keep those mice that destroy everything in my life from getting in. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Kathy Jo P. Okay, who else would like to share on these four paragraphs?
MJ.
Okay, I didn't hear anybody.
Linda D. from Connecticut.
Jackie H.
Beatrice O.
Okay, I heard, all I heard was
Donna W.
Beatrice. I heard Linda D., Beatrice O., Donna W. Who else was in there?
Jen R.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie H.
Bev M.
Okay, let's stop there and hopefully we'll have time for all of you. So I have Linda D., Beatrice O., Donna W., Jen R., Jackie H., and Bev M. So go ahead, Linda D.
This is Linda D. from Connecticut. Can you hear me?
Yes.
My phone is losing its charge, so I'll try to outbeat it. I am thrilled and grateful to be a recovered compulsive overeater, and I just celebrated, through the grace of God and you all, the steps, the big book, of 5 years. So that means I'm 5 years old. The problem is I'm in a 75-year-old body. So I think I know quite a lot about how to live. I know nothing about how to live because I know now things I know when I came into OA in 82. I was 38 years old, and I was given, an idea of the – I was trained in the big book, but then that disappeared. I was given food plan, flour, white flour and sugar. And that has expanded over the years. The information that's available now is very, very expanded from that. I've learned so much and it's made it possible from the folks on Vision for You, because they lived it, and I went, what? I don't know. There was a whole bunch of stuff, and it was said before, like fat and cheese and a whole bunch of stuff. And I did have one thing, and I have it today, a hunger for peace and love, and I found it in a higher power. And that, and with all of you, and that is no small trick, because I was an atheist, and God, the divine, really had to show up through the steps, and God did. God bless God and you all. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you, Linda D. Beatrice O., you're up next, followed by Donna W.
Good morning. This is Beatrice O. Can I be heard?
Yes.
I really like this paragraph because basically it has like five classifications: the psychopath, the person that's unwilling, the person that believes that after a period of time he can take a drink, the manic depressive, and of course the last one that says it's normal in every respect. And of course that's the one I classified myself as, the one that's in normal in every respect. And then the last one that says, you know, you have to have entire abstinence. So, but I know today that my mind is fundamentally flawed and it's defective relative to food. I have a mental obsession that's killing my body, and I have a body that's decaying my mind. And you know, those pleasure sensors in the brain that someone spoke about, I need that source of ease and comfort. I need that dopamine surge. It's almost like a fight or flight response when I have those trigger foods and white flour and sugar in my body. I have to have entire abstinence because I'm a real food addict. And I've tried every way to be abstinent. And I don't think that I ever believed that I had that famous obsession they talk about in this book, that someday, one day, I would be able to eat like a normal person. And the bottom line is, I will never be able to eat like a normal person. That's quantities, that's flour and sugar, or any of those trigger foods that sets off that craving where my body feels I need that dopamine surge. My mind is flawed, for sure. Anyway, thank you for letting me share, and I am so grateful to be abstinent today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Beatrice O. Okay, Donna W., you're up next, followed by Jen R.
Hi, this is Donna W. calling in from Palo Alto, California, and I just want to say it's so great to meet so many of you on the at the Ray birthday party and the dance Saturday night. You know, we've all been through so much, and it was just amazing to dance and move our bodies and celebrate together. And you know, when I read this, I always think, well, I am of that type that is entirely normal in every respect. That's what I would like to think. And then, you know, as I'm reading and studying together with you, you know, I realize, yeah, there are times that I am psychopathic and that I am unstable. And, you know, how many times have I sworn off going on the wagon for keeps and then end up remorseful? So I am all of these types, as others have shared. And then it says after being entirely free from alcohol for a period. Well, this morning when I was reading that, I thought, you know, there are times I'm the type who believes that after being thin for a period of time, then I can drink without danger. I think like if I'm thin enough, then I'll be safe. And that's a delusion that I'm really looking at and working on now. And And, you know, there's a lot of talk about the sugar and flour, and I've been hearing more talk about the fat. I've been off the sugar and flour for a long time, and I'm seeing more clearly that fat, especially salty fat, is a trigger for me. So I'm willing to really look at that. And in particular, nuts. I see that how much I can use nuts in all their shapes and forms. So I went to the sober eating workshop yesterday, and I'm willing to put down the nuts for today and see what that's like for 30 days. So I want to make that commitment to you and really have that rigorous honesty, because food is really sneaky and subtle. And you know, I can make a party out of lots of abstinent and, quote, healthy ingredients. So I'm just really praying not just to be abstinent, but to be clean and sober today. I want to be clean and sober with my food and my thoughts and my body image. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna W. Jen R., you're up next, followed by Jackie H.
Hi, everybody. I'm Jen R. from New Jersey. And I had to chime in on this one. It does talk about the different classifications of alcoholics, and they all apply to me, but particularly the one about the manic depressive. I actually am manic depressive, like clinically diagnosed. And I know that's very, very common on the line. A lot of us have mood disorders. But abstinence is the core of recovering from that mood disorder for me. I can take medication, have therapy, my nutrition is on point, my lifestyle is on point, all of those things can be on point. But if I am not abstinent from my foods and connecting with my higher power, getting on my knees, doing 10 steps, working with others, if I'm not doing all of those things and at the very bottom is complete abstinence, then I will not have recovery from my mood disorder. It is absolutely imperative. And yes, I take medication for that causes hunger. A lot of us take medication that causes hunger. And yeah, it can make me really freaking hungry sometimes, regardless of my abstinence level. But when I'm connected to my higher power and I'm abstinent, I can get through that hunger because it's just physiological. It's not mental hunger. The mental hunger that's caused, the craving that's caused by picking up my foods, destroys my entire life. I have absolutely nothing unless I'm completely abstinent. And that's all I wanted to share. Thank you.
Thank you, Jen R. Jackie H., your turn, followed by Bev M.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for your service, Kathleen. Jackie H., recovered just for today in Colorado. And so glad to be here. Like others have said, I have circled all of these types. And I remember as a little girl how hopeless I felt and how I would every day commit that tomorrow I wasn't going to eat and purge and go to bed at night and do the same thing over and over. And then things kind of switched around and changed, and I did this diet and that diet. And I was so determined that I was going to be normal and I could eat like a normal person. And so my eating disorder just took on a totally different color, and I was only going to eat organic, and I was only going to eat honey, and I was always going to eat maple syrup, just stevia. I can do stevia, all of these things. And when I came in, this is my first tour, if you want to say, with OA, and I hope it will be my last one, right? I never did go into the traditional rooms of OA. I came into Vision. And right away, I was told that abstinence was the answer to begin this program. And I didn't question it. I'm an alcoholic as well. I had to put down my alcohol, so I put down my food. And oh my goodness, it sent me on the fast path. It really did, a fast track, because I put the food down, and then I got, oh my gosh, I couldn't believe how clear I was in just a few days. And then my full attention, then I was able to work this beautiful, beautiful plan of recovery that's in this big book. And I got to have this spiritual awakening and to wake up here. And now I get to go out and do service and give this away. I'm happier than I have ever been in my life. And I was talking with my husband this morning, and I know I have a food plan. It's a beautiful food plan. And I know that I know that I know if I add one thing of my alcoholic foods in that, the food plan will go out the door. And today I get to sit. And when I'm eating my food, my abstinent food, I do love it. It's the kind of love that says, thank you, God, for this nourishment. It's not the kind of love that I used to when I would eat something that was my alcoholic food and then white knuckle it until the next day when I could have some more. So if you are new, just be here, get a sponsor, get abstinent, go through the steps, and I promise you that you will have a spiritual awakening and that you will. I'm neutral with food. I seriously am. First time in my whole life, and I am so, so entirely, internally grateful. Grateful for my higher power that gives me strength every day. Now, to be emotionally sober, right? Because I have a lot of stuff to deal with underneath here. And I get to do it. I get to do it in the safety of being tethered. Thank you. By my higher power, and then by the friends and family that I've met in this program. Thank you, and I will pass.
Thank you, Jackie H. Bev M., you are up next.
Did you say Des M.?
Yes.
Hi, this is Des M. from the Los Angeles area. It's my first time sharing on A Vision for You, and I'm just really grateful to be here. I've been in program in OA for a couple years, and then recently started working the steps with my sponsor through Vision. And I was, like maybe some of us have been when we come into program, a little bit irritated about the change in work, but I'm really grateful for it. And in the reading, I really related to, it says they are over remorseful and make many resolutions, but never a decision. And I feel like the past 6 months or something before I started working in the program, even during, I was like making resolutions about like what I called my yellow foods, and just trying to control and enjoy my eating while being abstinent. I've been, you know, away from my main alcoholic foods for a couple of years now, but the insanity was there. And only recently in the past few weeks, I was willing and, you know, suggested through working the steps to make a list of my compulsive eating behaviors as well. And that has kind of saved my life, and I really didn't want to do it. And, you know, and I heard people share about that this morning about our alcoholic foods and then our alcoholic, you know, food behaviors. And I know that anything I don't want to put on those lists, there's a reason why, and that's the beauty of this program, is that that relief that's talked about in the last sentence, you know, like, is only found in, like, the letting go and surrendering. And I'm really grateful that, you know, it doesn't mean that we have to want to do the work, that we just do it. So thanks for letting me share. And I'll pass.
And thank you. Thank you. Is it Dev or Bev? Well, maybe you muted already. Okay. We have 2 minutes. Does anyone want to do 2 minutes? Minute and a half, 2 minutes?
MJ?
Okay, go ahead.
This is MJ from Arkansas. And can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Wonderful. Hey, thank you, everybody. I'm 4 weeks into the program, and, you know, it was really easy at first to say, yeah, I'm a compulsive overeater. But, you know, when it came time to be abstinent and say, I have food allergies, I struggled with that. It was real. But as I went to the program, and my sponsors will tell you, I kicked at this. I just couldn't believe that because that was such a stigma. But now I'm loving it. I get to find out what my allergies are. And about 30 years ago, I became allergic to coconut, and I didn't know it, and I almost died. And I had to go to Little Rock, Arkansas, and run a bunch of tests, and the doctor said, the next time, you'll die. And they gave me an EpiPen, and they told me to carry this silly thing around. And I was scared, and I was abstinent. I did not have a drop of coconut in anything for a long time. And now I get it. There's nothing, you know, I have allergies to food. I don't want to just say I'm a compulsive overeater. I want to scream, I have allergies to food, and it's going to free me. When I find out what is causing these reactions and these unhappy feelings, these angst and things, I have the solution, abstinence. And I thank all of you for being here and for me learning this, and I'm going through this journey, and I love you all, and I pass.
And that was perfect timing. Thank you, MJ. Okay. Thank you, everyone who shared this morning. Special thanks to our readers, Nancy L., Betsy H., Susan H., Kathy G., Kathy Jo P. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Kathy G., would you please read A Vision for You?
Thanks, Kathleen. It's Kathy G., recovered in Illinois. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We will be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.